Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Tori, alongside Miles and Rob, and together we have over 75 years of experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. And each week, the three of us are going to provide a technical analysis of the metals charts, as well as cover the underlying fundamentals for you and the news that helps move and predict the markets. As always, we're going to start with a brief weekly recap, an exciting one this week, of the four primary precious metals. Miles, take it away.
I'm actually going to open a little differently this week with the least exciting market move this week. The S&P is about dead even over the last week. Started last Thursday, 62.60, and we're currently at 62.60. So getting the S&P out of the way as it's sort of bumping above the top end of some of its previous highs and closing in on a couple things here. So not a lot of movement there on the paper markets. But moving over to the metals, it's going to get a little wilder as we get down the list. So moving over to gold, relatively tame over the past week. It's up about 0.75%, currently at 33.50. Although we did have a pretty wild swing in gold up and down about $60 midday here today on Wednesday. So that's gold at $3,350 per ounce. Silver, little bit better over the past week. It's up about 3.5%, currently sitting at $37.88. However, silver did break above a new double zero, $39 and change. We did get a little bit above $39 this week, but it's trailed back down with a pretty broad range in silver as well. Platinum up another 3.5% to $1,425 on platinum. But platinum also looks like it's kind of coming to the end of a pretty manic run that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. So now it's time for some catch up with palladium this past week. Platinum sister metal palladium up 12.5%. to $1,280 on palladium as it tries to catch up with its sister, who's still sitting about $150 ahead, but only $150 now. So palladium definitely the big winner. And finally, the dollar is also up about 1% this week to 98.30, and just like gold today, we had a pretty wild swing in the U.S. dollar index. It moved over a point up and down in about 45 minutes or so, an hour or so's time in the middle of the day today. So a lot of volatility both in gold and the dollar. I'm guessing there's some dollar news out there here today. So let's dive into it. Where do you guys want to start?
I think really it was the White House saying that the president intended to fire Jerome Powell at the Federal Reserve. And yeah, that ended up being a rumor. Trump came out later and said, we have no plans to do that. It may have just been, honestly, a testing of the markets to see what would happen if he did. I don't know. But man, did it cause a huge swing. But I'm excited about the silver rally and the fact that we did hit 39 now. It happened in the London market. All of us in the United States were asleep in the middle of the night when that happened.
Yeah, but Russia, primarily, they're saying they're going to do also silver in addition to gold, which I find very interesting. Maybe it's because their relationship with India. India has been the one country that, besides the U.S., really is silver-oriented for investing, even though it's not really a monetary metal. So that had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, with the two of them being BRICS nation members. Yep. It may be something that they're looking to do, but that's pretty groundbreaking for central banks to begin buying silver. Now, Russia said that they were going to do that all the way back in September of 2024, and they have started to do that. So maybe they're the ones putting in the floor in the silver market, and that would roil a lot of Wall Street. There are eight major banks with major short positions in silver. That's a very uncomfortable unwind. The longer this goes and the more legs the price gets. And Miles, I'm excited too, because you've said for years, not here recently, but that the $35 mark and then the $38 mark were key lines that we had to break through. And I'm going to challenge you a little bit today, not to go out of order necessarily, but you know, we'll get to silver, platinum, and palladium, the white metals. With silver breaking out, I mean, where do you see resistance to the upside now in terms of that price move?
Short term, if you assume we, let's say, put in a top, the $39 break occurred on Monday. We're back down, what, about $1.50 or so on the 3%. Price of silver. Yeah, so not a significant decline, and we'd still have a ways to go. But if you were to pretend like that was the top, it actually would line up with at least some very, very short-term correction levels, but not enough to where I'd really get too, I don't want to say excited, but not the type of thing that you would expect to see like a major long-term trend change. The downside to that, though, is if you grow it big, it tends to pop pretty quickly too, just from the standpoint of if we were to see a turnaround here in silver, just like gold has been, you know, gold really has about a $500 range up and down that it could stay in. And no matter where it is, anywhere from like $2,900 to $3,500, a $600 range. I mean, $2,900 gold is still incredibly bullish. $30 silver, you know, $9 lower than where we're at now, is still very bullish for silver. So the downside to these type of market moves is when you have this type of rapid expansion or contraction in the market and you get a massive price move, corrections can be volatile and scare people, even if they're staying within the confines of a much larger defined trend. So yeah, maybe silver keeps going. I think anytime you have this type of movement, I mean, we're talking about going from $30 to $40. That's a 30% rise in silver just since the middle of April when it bottomed after the tariff discussion. 30% rise just over the course of a couple months. Yeah, it's pretty likely that we're going to see something happen in silver to calm it down at least a little bit.
Well, and I want to also skip tracks here for a second and point out we have the same discussion regarding the dollar. When you look at the short-term charts on the dollar, it's trending lower. When you back those charts up and go long-term, the dollar itself is in a long-term bull market, which is contrary to what a lot of people are hearing.
Very long-term.
Very long-term. So I look at the Trump administration and everything they are doing points to a stronger United States, which then leads to the dollar still being the key currency in world trade. Even though the BRICS nations say they want to go a different route, everybody wants to trade with the U.S.
Do you mean stronger economically?
Stronger economically, stronger dollar. But I do
stronger
think
stronger military, probably.
I remember years ago somebody was asking the question, why is the dollar the king of currencies? And the answer was because we have 9 carrier battle groups that can deploy to any corner of the world and impose our will. That's strength. That's what the dollar strength was based on, was our military might. And this administration is going back that direction. So I think this administration wants to print their way out of the debt. I think this administration wants to grow their way out of the debt. I think this administration wants to drill and dig minerals out of the ground and cut timber and go across the board, a full frontal assault on stimulation, printing, and growth. Because $37 trillion is a big number. I think they're throwing everything they can at it.
Sure.
And I think it is working here for now.
I think you brought up a good point there at the beginning. When we talk about the long-term rise in the dollar index, we are talking about like a 20 or 30-year trend where you're going to have periods of time for 3 or 4 years where it can move against the trend. Like during an entire period of time, presidents in office, you may have a declining dollar against a rising trend. Mm-hmm. So when you start talking over the course of like decades, it gets hard to really wrap your head around something like that and how that affects you on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, but getting back to what we talked about earlier, you know, we've actually had a 20, 30-year growth strengthening of the dollar, and yet gold has also had a 20 to 30-year extreme. I mean, when I came to work here 39 years ago, gold was $250 to $300. Look at it now.
Sure. Well, when I came to work here 20 years ago, it was also $250 to $300. So Rob, I don't know what you guys were doing for the first 20 years, but it wasn't moving the price much.
It did go through a consolidation pattern there for quite a while. But your point being, it's been in this long sustained bull market with the dollar.
Yeah.
But yet they tend to move counter to each other.
In the short term.
In the short term, right? So It really matters from a charting standpoint what time frame you're looking at. There's a very short term, there's an intermediate term, and then there's that long term. And same thing with silver. You know, if you look at the long drawn out decade plus chart on silver, that's even more of a reason to be bullish on silver, because then you get this really long term triangle pattern.
Yeah.
Or you get this developing cup and handle that you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that we're on the verge of breaking above. And really, to be out of that and accelerate towards $100 silver, you've got to break above 50. That technically would be a break out of that cup and handle. But it matters, the length of the chart that you're looking at. We can't get sucked into the minutiae and the near term only.
Right. And I think that right now what we're looking at, big picture, is gold's kind of taking a break, having a nice long cool drink, and waiting for silver and platinum to catch up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where we are.
I think gold has given us a blueprint as to what we can expect silver and platinum to do, or at least resemble. You know, history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very likely, given the duration that gold has now been compressing. So we've been looking for the last couple of weeks at this compressing, what we call all a pennant. For those of you that never got into baseball, that's just a sideways triangle, and where the highs are getting lower and the lows are getting higher. And it's just forming this sideways triangle trading pattern. And something I brought up in our show last week and showed a couple images on the charts we put on our YouTube version of the show. There's been a couple periods of time in the gold price where we've seen this pattern play out repeatedly, where typically you would think, okay, once that compressing period comes to an end, gold or whatever market you're looking at, whatever asset, it's going to make a decision. It's like, well, gold kind of has a habit of sort of dragging that on a little bit longer than you want it to. You know, it's like trying to drag your kids out of bed to get them on the bus in the morning. It's this, they keep hitting the snooze button, and gold might keep hitting the snooze button here.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Well, and that's going to let silver and platinum play catch up a little bit.
But see, we're supposed to see a drop in the gold price here in the middle of the summer, and I don't think that's going to happen. It's looking less and less likely each week that goes by that we're going to have a strong pullback in the price of gold. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think from a time frame, but also from an underlying fundamental, I don't see the news shaping up that's actually going to create that, something that gold's going to react to.
Right.
In the short term, again, we're talking the next couple months.
The one thing that we have seen over the last few years is the one weakness that gold has is if the stock market falls out of bed, you know, gold being a very liquid source of ready capital, you can see a dramatic drop in the price of gold. But I don't see stocks falling out of bed.
I don't either. Soon. And even if that happened, the white metals would do the same thing, because you get a broad-based selling of all assets. Everybody moves into the dollar. So you get a dollar rally. That's a time when, like in 2008, they moved in concert with each other. Gold initially dropped 28% when the stock market crashed. The dollar took off immediately, and it was only 3 weeks. Gold plays catch up, and then it blows by the dollar. They start money printing and doing TARP and quantitative easing. They drove the dollar down. Gold took off and went to a new high of 1,925. And in that same period of time, that's when silver hit 50. Well, guess what? That ratio went down to 31-1. Like right now, today, the ratio has contracted.
What
down
is it,
88 to 1 from 104. So this could be a directional change. That's enough of a move for me to be really excited about it. But let's just say gold stayed at 3,400. If we went to 31-1 on the gold to silver ratio right now, that's $110 silver.
And that can happen, because I don't think $50 is a meaningful ceiling for silver. I think that silver, if it breaks above 42 miles, what do you think? $60, $70 silver?
you know, 1925 was technically a meaningful ceiling. Gold did sit at or just above the previous ceiling for a couple of years there, but realistically, 1925 didn't end up meaning anything for gold, so why should 50 mean anything for silver? So, yeah, at that point, I just don't know. I think that's when we start looking at the historic price ratio move over time, and then you kind of have to factor in how a price moves with just the normal supply and demand in the market, the buying and the selling within the market. But yeah, we get above 50. Do I think we're going to get to $100 silver? Yeah, of course. I don't know when.
Yeah, in our lifetime, everything's appreciating. I mean, everything's being inflated. Again, that's just money supply and the purchasing power of the dollar or any currency against which you're measuring the metal. So, Rob, yes. I mean, in our lifetime, we've seen $35 gold. And now we're $3,335. So that's gold. It's the money metal. It's predictable. The commodities are a little bit different. But silver, going back to 50, is long overdue with the way that everything else has gone up and
wholeheartedly
inflated over the last 4 years.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. Well, 40 might as well be 50. I mean, if you look at the last time
adjusted
silver
for inflation.
Hit 40,
you mean?
Well, no, just from a chart. Well, obviously. Yeah. You know, adjusted for inflation. Okay, last time we hit it was 2011 and then money is. So really it's like 9 might as well be 50 adjusted for inflation. No, I mean, just from a charting perspective, we hit that 39.16. So I went back and I looked at a couple things on the chart last time we were there. So the last time we were there, that was when silver had failed to continue the rise. So, you know, we hit 50 and then it tanked. It dropped all the way down to like 33. Yeah. And then it tried to climb back up and continue the bull market, but it failed in the mid-40s. Around August of 2011.
That's right.
And then it started to come down. And on September 20th-ish of, I got to zoom in on the chart, September 20th-ish of 2011, that's when silver just in a day or two dropped like 25%. That was the signal that the bull market was over, the bears are in charge. We're going into a multi-year bear market at this point. Do you know what price it dropped from on that day?
No.
About 39.10, which is about where we got to this past week. Ooh. So kudos to silver. It took 13 and a half years, but you have finally regained all of the losses you took from the last bear market.
And I have clients that have sat there and watched that happen.
You've probably got three people on this discussion that have paid $45.
That's right.
For silver. I certainly couldn't care less.
I don't care. I've held it that whole time.
Yep.
Yeah, silver hit the snooze button in 2011, and it just got out of bed in 2024.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's running around the living room, and gold went to bed here for a bit and hit the snooze button.
Yeah, but
they take
gold,
turns.
Gold hitting the snooze button is different than silver hitting the snooze button.
It doesn't sleep as long.
No.
You can look at the long-term chart and see that it just doesn't stay in bed.
I'll like never forget the guy that called me. It's probably been 35, 36 years ago. I want $50,000 worth of silver because it's going to be the same as gold one day. And I just started laughing. And you've heard me tell this story before. And he said, young man, I don't think you know your job. And I'm like, well, I started buying back in 73 when I was still in high school. So I have a little bit of a background. He goes, why don't you like silver? I'm like, I like silver just fine. But she's like a blonde in a convertible looking for a good time. And gold's the lady down at church that I want to marry. You know, and one of the other brokers looked over the cubicle wall and goes, McLaughlin, where did you hear that? And I'm like, I just made it up. Leave me alone, you know. But I am very excited for silver. But listen, if you're over allocated to silver, in my experience, silver can break your heart and gold is going to stay true.
Well, silver only breaks your heart when you start trying to get it to do what it's going to do in a time frame that you want.
Exactly. That's so true.
The thing that kills me about silver, it's the thing every 6 months or so, everything you read online is silver is soaring. Silver's going to the moon. Silver's going to get in before it's too late. Like it's the same
thing. And yeah, it's been like that for decades.
Yeah. And what frustrates me about it is not that it's wrong, because it's not wrong.
It's not
it's
wrong.
That it's like Billy Mays putting that 20-minute timer on the infomercial at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like, that's not how markets work. Markets don't do things when you want them to.
And you know, the big banks that Tory mentioned earlier, they have massive silver positions, and they also have big short positions on silver. But I think they're using silver as collateral for loaning money and investing those funds elsewhere in the market. So I think their short positions in some cases are just keeping silver at par. So they don't make money, they don't lose money, it's collateral. So that's my opinion.
Well, it was also, I mean, true that there's this physical supply constraint developing. And we've talked about that on the show before too. And that's reflected in the cost of borrowing the metal. So borrowing the metal for 1 month has jumped to more than 6%.
This
sort of
is
like
silver?
What we saw gold. This is silver.
Yeah.
That's
right?
6% annualized, right?
The typical rate, that's annualized.
That's huge, by the way,
still,
because it's
huge.
Never used to be that high.
The typical rate is near zero.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
You have said that about gold. A quarter point? Like, why wouldn't you borrow the metals instead of
exactly.
dollars? Exactly. So now it's 6% annualized. That
it's
tells
expensive.
You there's a supply constraint.
Yeah.
And yet we're not seeing it in the physical market. We're not seeing it in the coin and bar market for the retail investor.
Right.
And we will.
The thing that kills me about silver, 6% annualized, you might as well just buy the bar outright for a commission and then lease it out yourself.
Hey.
Hey.
Wait a minute.
Leasing
what are we doing?
Radio.
What's our company doing with its inventory right now? I just got an idea.
We have a lot of inventory.
We don't
the
have as much
it's
as I'd
short-lived.
Like.
Yeah.
Disappears again. Quick.
It never happens in your timing, right, Miles?
No, it
right.
never
in your timing.
Well, what about palladium? Let's just look a little bit closer there because of the week that it's had before we wrap up this week. And with a metal that's up 12.5% in a week, you've got to give it its due on this program anyway. And and see how it's narrowed the gap with platinum. And remember, platinum historically has been 3, 4, 5 times the price of palladium. For a little history here in the last 5 years, palladium surpassed platinum and got
as much as three times the price of platinum.
Now, that's an enormous swing.
And platinum used to be twice the price of gold, and now it's still half.
That's right, less than half.
Less than
40% of it. Yeah, so those are the ratio opportunities that we're looking at. And none of us, I don't want to speak for you, I have not, and I don't think you guys have started ratio trading platinum and palladium because we've been waiting. We wanted to see parity first, one-to-one.
And we did.
Got that.
Yep.
And now it's going in the other direction, but
it's going to take a while.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I'm greedy on that one, though. I'll be perfectly honest, because I have.
You.
Yeah, I've talked to, you know, and I'd be curious what other thoughts are out there in listener land, but I've talked to a number of my clients here over the last couple months, and I have gotten that question a couple times as we got to parity. And I'm like, well, you know, a lot of these guys, we picked up platinum when it was half the price or better on palladium. And it's like, okay, well, let's say we're targeting 2-to-1 the other direction, and now it's 1-to-1. It's like, okay, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. Like maybe we don't wait for the big bell ring and we start positioning out. Because we certainly do that with gold and silver. It's just a lot of us, man, we've been waiting
years,
a decade.
Yeah,
the decade wait was worth it. If I'm not mistaken, a lot of the people that we did the palladium to platinum swap, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, a lot of the people we did that swap in saw 600-800% ounce returns. I mean, it was staggering.
Yep. It's the biggest.
I had one guy I'm thinking of ended up walking from like 10 ounces of what would have been 10 ounces of platinum into almost 80 ounces of platinum for nothing. You know, it cost him 10 years because he didn't care what the time was, but I'll take an 800% return over 10 years. No problem.
Well, that's exactly what has to happen if you're going to enter into the ratio trading structure.
You just got to give it time.
So if we're managing your IRA that's precious metals, if we're managing a storage account for you, or even your possession metals that you've acquired from us, we're going to inform you, right? I mean, you as the listener, that's really what we do is broker and advise on that. So,
but it's like watching the grass grow, Tory.
Yes. Yes. Slow turning ships is another way, right, to look at it. patient. It's not even long suffering. It's just patient because mm-hmm. the whole time you own the tangible commodity that yeah. can't go to zero.
Right.
So it's guaranteed income if you ever need to sell it. Yeah. But if you ever get to swap it, we pick up more ounces. It's best in an IRA. It doesn't have to be in an IRA. But if you give us a call, I mean, we're always happy to walk through your own portfolio and we can help you acquire or even liquidate something that you've inherited or liquidate something that you've purchased in the past. And that's exactly what we specialize in. So with that being said, Miles, do you want to wrap us up?
Yeah, I'll head us on out. Unless Rob has something you didn't even ask him. Just assumed Rob was done, Tori.
Stick a fork in me. Take us home, Miles.
All right. Well, as always, we appreciate you guys stopping by for this week's edition of Golden Rule Radio. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website where you can find additional information. We are at McElvaney.com. That's McElvaney.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McElvaney Financial. And as Tori was mentioning, if you'd like to sit down and chat with one of the advisors here at McElvaney Precious Metals, give us a call. We can be reached at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.